Okay, let's start again from Perek Beis. Let's review the first pasuk. Perek Vayhi Hayom Vayavo Bnei Elokim L'Siatzev Al Hashem. Let's start from pasuk Aleph. Let's start again from the beginning of Perek Beis. Vayhi Hayom Vayavo Bnei Elokim L'Siatzev Al Hashem. It was that day. We learned yesterday the Targum, it was Yom Kippur. The first parak took place on Rosh Hashanah, the second parak takes place on Yom Kippur. The difference between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin for the person's environment, his Sviva. Yom Kippur, there's a Yom Hadin for the person himself. As we're going to see, this parak deals with the situation where Hashem allows the Satan to bring upon Eov physical harm, Yisurim. So it was this day, Vayavo Bnei Elokim L'Siatzev Al Hashem, Vayavo Gam HaSatan B'Sochom, the Satan comes among them, L'Siatzev Al Hashem. We mentioned yesterday that in this pasuk, the Satan doesn't just come, as it says in Perek Aleph, he also comes L'Siatzev to stand. He comes to present an argument that he has more standing. He has a makom here in Perek Beis that he did not have in Perek Aleph, seemingly when he got his foot in the door. This can be interpreted in different ways. It can be interpreted that already in Perek Aleph, already with some weakness, Eov already began to crack. That he already, his frame of mind was not the same. That allowed the Satan to penetrate. What happens? Vayem Hashem al Satan, Eimi Zetova, where are you coming from? From where are you coming? Vayan hasatan es Hashem vayamar mishut ba'aretz umihisalech ba. I am coming from flying through the world, from floating through the world umihisalech ba and walking on the earth. Vayomer Hashem el hasatan hasam to libcha el avdi Eov. Have you paid attention to my servant Eov? Ki ein kamo ba'aretz. Ish tam. So Hashem here repeats the same four things. Ish tam v'yashar yirei elokim v'somira. V'oidenu machazik b'suma. So here Hashem adds, he is still holding on to his innocence. B'suma. So now Hashem focuses, interesting, on from the four midos of ish tam v'yashar yirei elokim v'somira. The one that Hashem focuses on is the tam. That's the Nida that Hashem makes mention. He is strong. He's firmly taking hold of the Tzmimus. He's holding on to his innocence. And you have incited me to destroy him for no reason. You see, you made a mistake. Hashem over here is telling the Satan, look what you have done. You've caused me to bring upon him harm. He lost his property, the four different things which we learned about yesterday. He lost his the Tzoyn and the Asanos, the Bok of the Asanos, the Tzon and the Gemalim, plus his children were destroyed. Vayan hasatan es Hashem vayomar. So here we have a very difficult pasuk. Or be'ad or. Here we're getting a taste of what's coming the next 40 prakim. The extremely difficult expressions that we're going to encounter. So here already is the first of the first. Or be'ad or. Leather for leather, skin for skin. We'll read the Mitzvah and Rashi in a moment. That basically what he's saying is the reason why Eov is still a tzaddik is a time is because you have not brought upon him physical pain. He has given up his children. He has given up his possessions. A person is willing to sacrifice everything and anything in order that suffering should not come directly upon his physical body. And that's what he's saying over here. The Moshe is going to give us a person is about, if something is falling from the sky and is about to crush a person, he will protect his head by putting his arm on top of his head. If something is coming towards his face is the most sensitive, the most important part of his body. He does not want a brick to fall on his head, so he will protect his head by putting his arm in front of his head, even though it's going to cause him to break his arm. He's going to break bones in his arm. It's kedai to lose the usage of his arm in order to protect the more sensitive part of his body. And that's exactly what's happening over here. Eli realized that there was a kitrig upon him, and he made a calculation. It's kedai for him to lose his children and his possessions in order to spare his own body. V'chol asher lo ish, every person will give everything he has Yitain ba'anavsho to spare his soul. Pasuk hey ulam, perhaps shlach no yotcha v'ga al atzmo v'yal bisoro. The Satan suggests to Hashem that you shall send forth your hand and touch his essence and his flesh, his body. And then Imlo, the Satan says, I swear to you, Hashem, El Panecha Yivorichecha, he will curse you. He will violate the prohibition of Birchas Hashem. So let's see, the Mitzudos started with Pasuk Beis. We literally Pasuk off yesterday, Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos. Eimizem. Ayei hamakom mitzudas David pasuk beis. Ayei mizeh. Ayei hamakom asher toymar mizeh ani ba. Where are you coming from? Hashem says to the Satan, "Where are you coming from?" So the Satan says, "I'm coming mishut ba'aretz u'misalech. I'm coming from flying throughout the world and treading upon the earth." Same expression we had in Perek Aleph. And Hashem says this to the Satan, and according to what we learned in Perek Aleph, the Satan basically says, "I've come. I am going to present to you, Hashem, a collection of sins. Man has sinned. I have here in my possession a record of the sins that man has committed against you." That's what he's saying. That's what Mishut Ba'aris to Misalech Ba. So Hashem says, okay, you have in your possession a collection, a record of sins. But maybe there is one person, like we mentioned in Perek Aleph, Hayesh Baham Eit Samayim. Maybe there is one person among the earth that is a tzaddik, and in his zuchus and his merit, we can forgive the entire world. And namely, who is that person? Eov is that person that in his schust everyone will be forgiven. Did you also have a complaint against Eov? Look at Eov. He's odcha machzik b'sumasa, pasuk gimel, bodenu im ki huka shever al shever. Although he has been smitten with multiple afflictions, multiple things of punishments, odenu machzik, he is still odo oiches bit mimuso. He is still a tzaddik. He is still a tam. He is still a person that is complete with Hashem. Does not have any complaints against Hashem. And vatisi seni diber b'loshen b'nei adam. The Hashem is speaking to the Satan in the language of man for us to understand. V'ratzolaymar kit rakta olav lahashchisay b'chinam. You have angered me to destroy him for no reason. Mibli avon kiim l'nasoso. He has not committed any sin, but just to test him. And look, he has passed the test. He has not done anything wrong. So what does the Satan say to Hashem? Or be'ad or. What do these difficult words mean? Skin for skin. Rotso loymar. Kal v'choymer hadvarim. We can make a kal v'chomer im derech anoshim lo seis or ba'ad or. The Mitzudos is telling us that it's not something to be which needs translated literally. It's a kal v'chomer if a person is willing lo seis or ba'ad or. What does that mean? She'im yavo mi lahakoisoi the arponov. If an enemy is coming to attack a person by coming to bring harm to a person's face, the or of his panav, the skin of his face. Hallo, yasim yada al panav. Will a person not put his hand to shelter his face? Lekabel hahaka beor hayat. The or hayat is willing to take the blow, is willing to absorb the blow in order to protect the or panav. The imkain who be mixas kufayel kitzasai. And so we see that a person is willing to give up part of his body to spare a more important part of the body. You're willing to give up, to sacrifice the or of the yad in order to protect the or of the panim. Kol shekain hu. If this is so, that a person is willing to give up part of his body to spare the other part of the body, certainly, how much more so, who sheyitein ho'ish es kol asher lo, how much more so will a person give away his possessions, which is not his body, b'yad nafsho. Ucho oimer, what the Satan is telling Hashem, hinei ioiv yachshoiv, he made a calculation, he made a cheshben hanefesh, pen nigzar olav hamitza, that it was decreed upon him in heaven that he should die for a sin. V'nevad kol ashalo, and what was the decision? This was a chesed. Hashem destroyed his possessions, kol ashalo, to muras in exchange nafsho. Vayamud chai, and he will remain alive. Ulezeh mekabel b'sever ponim yafos, and that's why he's willing to accept the punishment gladly, without any complaint whatsoever. If you really want to test him, Hashem, so basically what Eov is telling, what the Satan is telling Hashem, is that the test is flawed. It's not a good test. If you really want to test Eov, you have to bring upon him a test which he has no logical explanation. El Atzmo v'El. So where do we have the same concept? This idea we have by Yaakov. Yaakov was running away from Esav. Eliphaz comes to attack, to kill Yaakov at the command of his father Esav. And what does Yaakov say? Eliphaz say to Yaakov, "I don't want to kill you. I don't want to destroy you. So what could I do? My father told me I have to kill you." So Yaakov said to him, "So take away all my possessions. Oni chashuv kimes. So if there's a gezer that I should die by taking away my possessions, I'll be poor. Oni chashuv kimes. You'll fulfill your father's request." Now, by the way, Eliphaz, we're going to see soon, someone will learn that Eliphaz indeed was one of the friends of Eiv. Okay, but we have this idea in the Torah that giving away your, I think the Gemara says three or four things, chashuv kemes. Mi she'ein lo banim, chashuv kemes, ani chashuv kemes, and a mitzora, and assume someone who's blind is chashuv kemes. Four things are chashuv kemes.
There's a problem with the logic here, because the Rishon didn't say, "I took away all your things," and he didn't. One by one, there were four different.
Okay.
So to each one, he didn't know. He said, "Okay, Mekabel." He took my camels, Mekabel. So it's not that he's saying, "Okay, my way out is as long as I'm safe."
I have a big question.
Each time that they did another, did. Okay, I have no problem.
Okay, but Soif Kosov, when everything is said and done...
He didn't change his mind. He was at the same level of Mekabel.
But when everything is said and done, he lost all of his possessions, all of his worldly possessions, but his body was spared. That was
something that he negotiated.
Okay, so he's making this calculation. He's coming to... He's trying to find logic in Hashem's ways. That's all part of Sefer Iyov. Is that in the beginning when a person suffers...
What I'm saying is the suffering is coming... to prove his point.
Yeah.
If you go to someone and you say, "Okay, we're going to take everything away, what are your money, your life?"
Okay.
But
that's not everything.
But we're talking, when someone says money or life, he's not talking about money, he's talking taking away your possessions.
It's not the same thing.
Well, but here he also took all the possessions. But he didn't say, "I'm taking it."
The way things work is in Saras. You start with
small things and it builds up. We have a lashon hara. What do we have by the teichacha? Teichacha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu first warns a person with his property that he doesn't take that seriously. One thing leads to another until ultimately he has negat saras. Right. Ultimate. Okay. But the point is over here. The satan over here is making an argument and saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the satan is saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the test is flawed. The reason why he's odicha machzik b'sumaso is because you have not brought upon him physical pain. Eiv is making this calculation that there's a gzeir of misa. What?
You haven't waterboarded.
Okay, let's see. El atzmo v'el besaro. Yeah.
Remember at the beginning you said we're comparing Eiv in a sense to Avraham
Avinu. Yes.
Avraham Avinu did not experience physical pain. This concept of being... I mean, he went through the tennis yonos.
Okay, you're asking a very good question. You're saying that Avraham Avinu had tennis yonos, but none of the tennis yonos involved physical pain. Is that true?
No, he had the kibshon ha'esh, he had the bris.
Avraham was thrown into the kibshon ha'esh, so that's right. That means
some wealth even.
But he survived. He allowed himself to be thrown into the kibshon ha'esh. You're asking a good question. He says, Eiv suffered for one... Well, let's take a step back. All right. The nisyonos were before the physical suffering that it's about to come upon him. When Chazal compare Avraham to Eiv, they're comparing him before Hashem gave him this ultimate test to bring upon him a year of physical suffering. We start off, there were two tzaddikim, Eiv and Avraham. Avraham already passed 10 tests. Eiv only passed one test, the test of Nimrod, the test of Migdal Bavel. Now, the Satan is saying, Hashem is seemingly favoring Eiv. Then you look in the world and you see there is no one in the world like Eiv. And Hashem said, the Satan, according to that Chazal, was Neschav L'Shem Shemayim. No, Avraham is greater than Eiv. Avraham had 10 Nisyonos. So the question is, your question, why did Hashem... in the future test Avraham with physical pain. Okay, I hear you saying. You're asking a good question. I don't know the answer. Let's go forward. Maybe at some point in time we'll come across something which will shed more light on this issue. Pasuk Hey, El Atzmo V'El Besaro. Okay, the Mitzudos Pasuk Hey. So the Satan says to Hashem, bring upon him physical pain, upon his essence, and upon his flesh. B'michoive Haguf Atzmo Hakoshe Me'evdon Habanim V'Hoesher. Physical yisurin are worse than the loss of children and the loss of wealth. That's what it says here in the Mitzudos. It's hard to understand, but that's what it says. El Ponecha. And then let's see how he will react. Kmo al Ponecha v'rotzlem avur ka'ascha, because of the anger, yigadev klap emayla, because of the anger, that's the anger of suffering, he will certainly, the Satan says, Imlo, I guarantee he will be Megadev Klape Mala. So let's see Rashi. Rashi starting with Pasik days. Where are you coming from? What is the makam that you're coming from that you can say that you can make this statement. So the Satan says, I'm coming, we should borrow some salach, but like we explained, like we said before, I am bringing in front of you a record of sins. Hashem says, there's one tzaddik that's going to be a kapara for the entire world, and that is Eiv. The Satan says, Eiv is not a tzaddik. The only reason why he has not sinned is because everything is good for him. If you'll bring upon him harm, he will sin, and therefore he's not such a tzaddik, and it's not kedai for you to forgive the entire world from their sins in his merit. Pasuk Gimel, Machazik Oso, Kmo Vayishlach Yodo Vayichazik Bo, Machazik Biozne Kolev, to take hold of. He's still taking hold. Eiv is still holding on to his innocence. Vatisiseni Bo, Hisiseni Levaloi, you have incited me to swallow him up for no reason. Kolosh Nasata Ein El Eloshon Hamshacha. You have drawn me. Hashem says to the Satan, you have pulled me in. You have tried to influence me to do something which was not proper. Shemamshech Es Adam La'atzasa, when you try to convince a person to listen to his advice. So how does the Satan, what does the Satan say? Or Ba'ad Or? Aver bifne aver kachdech bnei adam kisheroy hacherev bo al rosh. So the same idea that we learned in the Mitzvot, when a person sees that a sword is about to come down on his head, what does he do? He puts his hands on his head, megin bizro'o lefonav v'kol shekein. According to both the Mitzudos and Rashi, certainly now it's a kal v'chomer, kol ha'shel ish b'mamon yitain. B'yad nafsho, b'fnei nafsho, l'hogin l'fi sh'zeh yodeh b'nafsho, sh'nischayiv. So according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, Eiv made a cheshvan ha'nefesh, he realized he's chayiv nisa, and therefore this is an easy way. L'fi 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 So now we go back to the Pesukim. So Hashem says, okay, I give you permission. Vayomer Pasik Vav. Okay, frightening Pasik, which sets the stage for the entire Sefer. Vayomer Hashem al Satan Hino V'yodecha. I give him over into your hands. Ach etznafsho shemar. But one thing, don't take his life. I give you permission to bring upon him Yisurim, physical suffering, but don't bring suffering to the point where he will die. Pasuk Zayin, Vayetze Hasatan Ispnei Hashem, he left from Hashem, Vayaches Iyov B'Shchin Ra, he brought upon him boils, Mikaf Raglo, from the sole of his foot, Ve'ad Kod Kodo, until his skull. Now according to, by this is the last time we hear of the Satan. The Satan is Vayetze, he leaves the world scene, and we never hear from the Satan again. That's the end of the Satan. What? We hear from him. Alright. It's no joke. Vayikachla, so what did Eiv do? He took cheres lehiskored bo. Eiv was suffering from this thing called this shchin. He took a piece of earthenware, a piece of pottery, his scored bow to scratch his flesh, and he sat in ash. he sat in ash. Why did he sit in Afer? So to cool off his body. Somehow the Afer, this ash was beneficial. Somehow it absorbed the mucus, absorbed the liquid that was draining. Whatever he did, it was some type of relief. It was an attempt to relieve the pain from the shchin. But okay, let's see over now. We'll see these two psukim in the Mitzvot and Rashi. Then we'll go to some very powerful psukim. Pasuk Zayin, Vayetze. The pasuk vav in the mitzudos v'hino biyatcha hinehu biyatcha lahakosa biatzmo uvi besoru lahachivay ach shemores nafsho. You can do to him whatever you want, but guard his neshama lebal teitzei migoydul hakev. It should not leave the neshama, should not leave the body. Pasuk zayin vayetzei lahakos es iyov b'shchinra hakoyev biyoyser. It's the worst possible pain to have this type of disease, this shchinra. Chazal is a chazal, there are different types of boils. This is a particular certain variety of shchin called shchinra. Okay, it's a very, very painful type of Schwab. Schwab, he has them. He was a doctor in Baltimore, I think he writes about, that told him exactly what this is. He described to him, he had a name for it. I don't remember what it says there. The certain type of disease which fits the description of what it says here in the Midrashim of the different types of Yisurim.
Is
Shchinra? I don't know, maybe. I don't know.
I saw a Shchinra.
So what is it called?
I looked it up on the screen.
Yeah.
Some
pH plus, I don't know.
Boils, lumps.
Lumps, the boils, small and big.
Lumps,
different parts of the body, upper part of the body, lower part of the body.
Okay. On the computer, I looked it up.
There are two different. It's described here as two different types. The top part of the body was hard boils, which he used a cheretz lehiskoredbo, a piece of earthenware to scratch. But the lower portion of his body was something which leaked. It produced an enormous amount of fluid,
yes,
which he needed to sit in Afer to absorb the fluid. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, he told him, ach, pasuk vav in Rashi, ach, es nafsho shemar, shletetze, that his neshama should not depart. Mikan amru chacham, it's the famous chazal, kosher hoyetzaroi shel satan, yoysem shel iyev. The very bizarre chazal, the way chazal word this expression, the pain, the tsar of iyev, of the satan, was greater than the tsar of iyev. Why? If you tell your friend, I want you to break a container, shivor chavis zo, shatter this container, ushmor yena, but make sure the wine does not get lost. How can you possibly do something like that? How can you take a container and shatter it and guarantee that you don't lose any liquid, you don't lose any wine? The wine's going to automatically be lost. It's going to spill out. It's going to fall to the earth. You have to have some high tech technique to prevent it from losing. So the same thing here. The same thing is true here. He told him, "You able? I'm giving you permission to torture him, but you have to make sure you don't cause him to die." Where do you draw? How do you do that? So, and the way, what's more bizarre is how Chazal describe kosh hayetzarai. Is this really called pain? The satan as tsar? It's a very, very bizarre expression. It's a very bizarre expression. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk Ches and Rashi lehiskored bo. He took a piece of pottery and he used it to scratch his body. Bedalit. The last letter of the word is a dalit. Kosov loshon mishnahi. This is a word that's found in the Mishnayis. Gordo umamido al godlo. You scratch it, you scrape it. Umamido al godlo, and you make a utensil into a certain form. You take some clay or some type of material and you shape it by chiseling away or scratching away at the surface in order to leave the form that you want. Aval goyrer bereish ein eloshon tzachiva. Goyrer with the reish means to scratch. Kamo gor adam mita v'sas person means to drag. A person is allowed to drag. The famous Chazal on Shabbos, Dov Shem is having to drag a bench. Mita v'safsel. A bed and a savsel. So over here, Rashi is telling us this guard doesn't just mean to take take some type of kli and rub it. It's more than rubbing. You're actually peeling away the surface. You're peeling away the surface.
Using it at the post?
Well, no, that's the bottom part of the body. That's how Rav Schwab explains the bottom part. There were two, this pos, there were two different types of shechinah. On the upper part of the body, it's hard. On the lower part of the body, it's soft. The lower part of the body produces fluid. The upper part of the body becomes a hard crust, and it's extremely painful. And the only way to reduce the pain is to actually scrape away the boils. And that's what Rashi says, l'hiskarid with a dala means to scrape. You actually remove layers of the shrin, whereas if the pasuk would have used l'hiskarid with a reish, it would mean you just rub it. It itches. So you itches, so you take something and you rub it. When you rub, when you scratch your body, you're not peeling away layers of flesh. You're just scratching it. That would be l'hiskarid. But it says l'hiskarid with a dala, he actually peeled away layers of his flesh with this piece of pottery. Okay, next word, next. Okay, now we come to pasuk tes. Vatomer lo ishto, his wife. Now this fascinating thing, because a wife plays a major part in a person's illness. Okay, this there are probably volumes of books describing caretaker. The caretaker, the person who upon whom the responsibility of dealing with a person, Rachman al-Islam, who's suffering, many times falls upon the spouse. And the spouse has a major share in how the person deals. If the spouse can deal with it, then it can definitely have an effect, can lighten the yisurim. On the other hand, the spouse can't deal with it, it can make it even more difficult for the person suffering to deal with his illness. So here we have his wife. We have basically one pasuk that tells us about how his wife reacted to his suffering. And it opens up volumes of understanding of how Yisurim don't just affect the person, it affects the entire family. My husband, are you still a tzaddik? Are you still holding on to your innocence? Borech Elokim Vomus. Bless Hashem and die. Now, what does that mean? Let's just go. Let's read one more pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Eleha. Eov said to his wife, "Kidaber achas hanevolos tidaberi." You speak like one of the debased people. You speak like a lowlife. How do you talk like that? Here, Eov is giving his wife a mussar. Now, didn't he know that that's how she would speak when a person, you know, when a person goes out with his wife before he gets married, he should be yoyu l'soif daita. How would she react in such a situation? It's a very very frightening thing. So, Eov and all of his, this is how she reacted, and he was very critical of her reaction. Was he aware of this? Was he aware that this is how she would react when he was healthy and things were good? Doesn't say, but it's something which is very interesting. Kedaber achas hanavolos tedaber. You speak like one of the people who are the navolos. Gam esatov nikabel meis horlokim v'esharo lo nikabel. Should we only accept the good that Hashem gives us and not accept the evil? Bechol zos, and at this moment in time, despite all of his physical pain, now it's part five. It's not just the bakar and the asanas. It's not just the tzoyin. It's not just the gemal. It's not just his children. It's now physical pain. Bechol zos lo chati iyov bisvasav. He did not sin with his lips. Chazal say, we'll see the Rashi, with his lips he did not sin, but already in his heart he cracked. His heart already had complaints against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What could I have possibly done that I deserve to suffer like this? Let's go very slow. Let's take a look at these two psukim, Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud. These are explosive, these two psukim. Pasuk Tes and the Mitzudos, Odecha. His wife says to Eov, Odecha, Machazik Bisumasecha. It's a play on the words. It's the same words that Hashem used. See, when Hashem said to the Satan, Hashem used exactly those words, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, it says Odenu, not Odech. It says, it's similar. It's not exactly the same words, but it's similar. Odenu machazik b'sumaso. He is still holding on to his tzmimus. And here, she used Odecha. It's a question, a rhetorical question. Odecha machazik b'sumasecha. Let's see the Mesudos Pasuk. tests. Okay, pas odcha dain ata machsek bit mi masecha. Are you still holding on to your innocence? Uchi'ilu amra. It's as if she said to him, al tachsek od, don't continue this path. Ela beirech es Hashem. Basically means to curse, give forth a curse. Uva avoin ze tomus miyad. And through this sin of cursing Hashem, you will die immediately. Vihine toivoloch, it's better for you to do this. Mishe techaye, than to live. The Yisurim, Mach'ivim Ka'ela, with these horrible, painful Yisurim. So she's saying to him, I want you to sin. I want you to commit the worst Avera possible, to curse Hashem, and that way Hashem will punish you, you will die, and that's for your ultimate good. It's a chait l'shem shemayim.
It's like pulling the plug.
It's not pulling the plug, because pulling the plug, that's not cursing Hashem.
Out of his misery.
So what she should say to him, you should commit suicide. Let me go and take your life. But that's not what she said. It was so slow. Maybe that's how you want to interpret it. You want to interpret it but on the simplest level, she's telling him to do an Avera. Now, what's very strange is today, if a person will do an Avera, just because you do an Avera, you're going to die? People do Averas all the time. People do the worst Averas. Ben Adam Ravokaim, Ben Adam Lachavero, and they live long, healthy, successful lives. Look at a lot of these Nazis. They find they're 100 years old, living a good life in Argentina. They committed the worst atrocities. So she's telling him, hey, listen, Eov, you're suffering. You're suffering, so there's an easy way out. You know what the easy way out is? Sin. Rebel against Hashem. By rebelling against Hashem, Hashem's going to take your life, going to punish you. Really? Really? You can sin against Hashem and Hashem will punish you? Hashem does whatever He wants. If Hashem doesn't want to punish you, Hashem will punish you in the next world. He's not going to punish you now. That's a very big question which I have not seen anyone explain. You want to say that Eve lived on a different madrega, different times, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midah K'neged Midah was very quick. When a person sins and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them right away, we don't see that today.
This is not a normal situation.
So what? Adrab, it's not a normal situation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to suffer, he'll suffer. You can't hold Hashem hostage and say to Hashem, I don't want to suffer, so therefore I'm going to outsmart you, I'm going to rebel against you, and according to your Torah, I have to die.
She can't bear to see him suffer.
So let her kill him, or let him take his own life. But here, that's not what they're saying. They're saying is, you shall sin and let Hashem take your life. What? I didn't see the Malbim. I did see the Malbim. I read the Malbim in English. I have the English Malbim.
The
Malbim, yeah. He said the same thing as Rashi. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure I understand it right.
Yeah.
He says that the first case, he said, Hashem, no son Hashem, look up.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem, he benched him. Baruch Hashem.
So play on the words here.
He says again.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't say Baruch Hashem. Say Baruch Hashem, and then Hashem will see it doesn't help. So he'll have to give you the worst back, or he'll kill you.
No, I don't think the Malbim says that. You're saying
that's the way I read it.
Bless Hashem the positive. No, I don't think the Malbim
says positive.
I didn't see the Hebrew Malbim. I read the English Malbim very carefully. I have the English Malbim. There's a very good Malbim.
He didn't say anything. Right?
No, he doesn't seem to say that. He seems to.
In the beginning, he said Baruch Halara.
Okay. We're gonna discuss that. I want to have a different. What you just said, I want to discuss in a few moments, your interpretation. It's not what the Malbim says, but I want to discuss that in a moment. Yeah.
His wife lost all the...
Her children.
She lost
everything.
The
right.
Only thing she didn't get is she didn't get the boy.
Exactly.
But she had every same...
Excellent. No, that's another very, very major point you're making. Over here, these two psukim, exactly. She's suffering with him, and she's expressing how she feels. She can't take even the first. Yeah. How did she feel the first time when she lost her children? And now she doesn't want to suffer along with him. Okay, every spouse suffers along
she's
with...
She's afraid she's going to get the boils too, and then, you know...
Forget about the boils. She lost her children. How does she feel? She lost her security. She lost her property. She has nothing left. And now her husband, now she has to take care of him. She has to witness this. Okay, so it's she obviously has an excuse. But this is a very difficult question. Because we know today that this doesn't work. A person can sin all he wants, nothing will happen to him. There are people that attack a sin. There are people that do terrible averos and they die. Okay, that we do know, but more often than not, we see people do terrible things to other people, and nothing happens to them. They live long, healthy lives. They have children. They have nachas, and people are just bewildered. How could it be such an evil person, a person who causes so much harm and so much pain to someone else? Nothing. Everything is fine. He has parnasa. He has children. He has good health. Everything is good. And here she's saying, I have an easy way out. Just do a little avera, be mevarech Hashem, and Hashem will right away send down a bolt of lightning and you'll die, and you won't have to bear. Tell her that she actually believes, she believes it's going to work.
Well,
such
a
thing.
Does she know that, I think this was a test?
No, it doesn't seem like she knows. No, it doesn't seem like that's the whole thing. They knew it was a test. No one knew. Okay, so that's question number one. Question number two is, what kind of thing is this that you mean mevarech Hashem to go and give up your olam haba in order not to suffer? It's a very difficult thing. I don't know what the part. That's how Mitzudas learns, and that's how Rashi learns, and it's very difficult to understand. Another important point is, who was this woman? According to Medrash, this woman was Dina Bas Yaakov. Dina Bas Yaakov. How do we know it was Dina Bas Yaakov? Because Kinevola Osa B'Yisrael V'Chein Lo Ye Osa. We have this Gezer Shava, so to speak. When Dina was taken by Shechem ben Hamor, and Yaakov's children heard about what happened, and they expressed their frustration and their disappointment and their anger with the words Ki Nevola Osa B'Yisrael, and the word Nevola here is used Achas HaNevolos Tidaberi, and what Eev was telling Dina Bas Yaakov is that your rapist Shechem got you. When he went and he was Ma'anes you, and he lived with you, and you were in his company for a period of time. She was with him for a period of time. According to some midrashim, she was willing even to marry him. Once he was ma'aneser, if not for the fact that Shimon, Levi, and the children of Yaakov came to rescue her, she would have remained with him. So she already became she became used to his derech ha'chaim, and he was a novel. And that's what Eve was giving Musar to his wife Dina, that you have become accustomed to the midos of Shechem and Hamor and the people of that community.
She married
Shimon. Does it say that? Okay, so there are conflicting midrashim. That's not a kasha. We will find many places that midrashim, they conflict. It could be she married him later on. She married him first, married him second. That's not a kasha. You find midrashim that say things which contradict one another. Different midrashim. But according to one approach, look, we learn when we start Eev, that who says that she lived, that Eev lived during this period of time? Eev lived during the time of the Achashverosh. Lived during the time of Ezra, then there's no way in the world she could have had any contact with Shechem. Okay, there are different midrashim, but this is one of the sources that Chazal used to tell us when Eve lived here. She lived during the time of the daughter of Yaakov. What's also very disturbing is that if this indeed this is the daughter of Yaakov, how could it possibly be the daughter of Yaakov, the child of Yaakov Avinu would speak like this? A person that had the chinuch of Yaakov Avinu, of the Shiftei Ka, would say such a thing and would say to her husband, "You should be mevorich elokim v'mus," to curse Hashem and die. Is that logical for her to say such a thing? It's very difficult. Okay, now Rabbi Meir touched upon another approach. Now this approach, unfortunately, if you've been following the Flapless Jewish Journal the last couple of weeks, there've been a lot of articles about hospice. Unfortunately, I had a little taste of this myself in some time I spent in the hospitals, and there is an approach today in the medical, what I've seen. I'm just telling you what little experience that I've personally had. There is an approach today in the medical world where they tell you it's okay to die. It's a person is terminally ill, Rachmana Litzlan, person is suffering, let go. It's okay. There's nothing to fear, there's nothing wrong.
It's
And it's not necessarily wrong. I'm not coming to criticize. Not necessarily. You have to know. You cannot generalize. You cannot generalize. Every single person, every single situation is different. Everyone, we're not getting the politics out.
Let us just, everything has to be understood from its history. Where did hospice develop? It's a new concept. Olden times, if someone was, there was nothing to do in the hospital, you either left them in the hospital to die, or you took them home to die.
Okay.
They were paying a certain rate for, let's say, a certain rate for.
They can't afford to keep a person in the hospital when there's nothing more.
Someone came out with an idea. This will be a cheaper rate for them.
That's right. Okay.
So it was a money solution.
That's not 100%. I don't think that's 100% accurate. The hospitals are places where they do things to treat you, to get you better. When it comes to a certain point, when they can't do anything with the person, you're using up resources that they want to use for other people that can use their help. A hospital is developed into a place rather than an end of life location to a place where they try to get you better. If you're not going to be getting better, then there are special facilities that are set up to accommodate you. Now, unfortunately, it's very good on paper. It's very good on paper. The concept is very good, but in those facilities, because there is no hope for the person terminally ill, there is a tendency for let the person to accelerate his death. Now, it's not necessarily a bad thing. If a person is very sick and a person is suffering, so according to halacha, there are many poskim. You don't deliberately pull the plug, but there's no inyan to go and torture a person to death. There's no inyan to
no heroic measures.
Exactly. You can't generalize. Every single situation is different. So here, I want to read this into the pasuk here. Eel's wife, Remeir, you really brought out the point. Whoever said here the word baruch, baracha, is used two ways. It means to bless Hashem in the positive form, to give shevach v'hoida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the word baruch is also a euphemism for a curse. Until now, the Satan, when he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says the word baruch, he doesn't mean chalila, he's not going to say the word curse to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's been used as a euphemism, but you can interpret the pasuk over here like this. Eov's wife sees Eov suffer enormous yisurim. She says to him, Eov, it's okay to die. Let go. Don't fight. What are you fighting? Why are you trying to do heroic measures to stay alive? It's futile. The end is you're going to lose. It's a losing battle. So you're just going to suffer. It's okay to die. And in fact, you have what to give Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. You had 70 wonderful years of success. You had children, you had nachas. Okay, so your children die. You don't know all the ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. But you had in this world infinitely more than any other person had in this world. You had a life experience which you will take with you to the next world. It's okay to die. Let go. Let go. Don't fight. Don't attempt to have these doctors and these facilities perform for you all of these heroic measures. It's really what she says to me. You want to read the word baruch in the positive form, not the negative form. She sees him suffer. Are you still naive? The word tam over here does not to be interpreted in this context to mean, are you a tzaddik and you want to you think things are going to everything's going to turn out for the best? She's telling him, don't be naive. Ta means naive. Don't think you're going to survive. You're going to win this battle. You're going to die. You're going to die. And if you're going to fight, you're just going to suffer more and more. Instead, Borech Elokim, say tzidduk hadin, recite tzidduk hadin. And give shevach v'hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say hallel. You had more in this world than anyone ever had. And there's nothing wrong. Vamos. And let go. And die. What?
His response
is he's a fighter. Now this is not for everyone. Because there are different types of people. What he is saying, because he was a very great tzaddik, what his response is not for the average man. It's not for the faint of heart.
I think this is fantastic what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's very practical and it happens daily. It's recommended that you put together what's called a health proxy.
Right. It's very complicated.
It's very, very important because even then they don't listen to you. You have a choice. I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid, but think about it now. Chas v'chalila, you slip on the ice and you become a quadriplegic. Would you? A lot of people say, I don't want to live the rest of my life. My kids and my grandkids are going to come look at me. I won't be able to relate. I don't know what's there. Put a DNR and, you know, let the guy go. You know, let the plug go. Other people will say, and this is exactly what Eva is saying, because the question is, she's putting the question. And Eva is saying, you know what? God decides what he does, if it's good for me, if I feel it's good or it's bad.
It's a personal decision.
What I want is, I don't care if I have to be 15, 20 years in a coma and they have to suck.
It's his personal decision.
I want you to keep me going because that nefesh is not a decision that I'm willing to give away.
It's his personal decision. He's a Baal Madrega. It's not for the average person.
Put that down.
What he is saying, look at his words. His words are very powerful. Vayomer Elecha. He says to her, Elecha is very Vayomer. He doesn't say Vayomer Stan.
Don't love me.
He says, I appreciate your approach, and it's a personal decision. There's nothing halak. There's no halakhic.
So what would have been the
chet? Let's see.
The end of the
pasuk.
That's what I
know. What chet? What chet?
If he had taken her recommendation,
yes,
the positive.
No, that's a separate issue. That's a separate. That loichata. That's a general assessment of what the matzav is. The matzav is, what have I done in my lifetime to deserve this suffering? That's a general. That part of the pasuk is independent. No, but let's read his response. Wait, let's read the response.
Curse.
One thing at a time. Let's read. This is what his personal feeling. You speak like one of the Nevolos, and he says, so this for me, on my Madrega, is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to live, to take this horrible experience and elevate it for the purpose of God. You're telling me I should thank Hashem, I should give bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the 70 wonderful years of life. And now, this last year that I got left, I should just pull the plug? And it's mutter, al-pi halacha, it's 100% mutter. There's no problem over here. Vamos, you just give up. Just don't do any heroic measures. I don't want to do that. I want to take this last 1 year and live it out to the most, and every pain and feeling of suffering that I have, use it as a springboard to give Shevach V'Adot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's my personal decision on my Madrega. It's not, and I repeat this 100 times, it's not for the average person. The average person is perfectly within his rights to say, I don't want, just let me go. And all the Rabbanim say this, and I mean, it all depends, every situation is different, it's 100%. But if you want, if you're from that Baal Madrega, I think of Aaron Soloveitchik. Aaron Soloveitchik had a stroke. Now, how many years was he debilitated with the stroke? Can you imagine his spirit? It was Mavir al-Harayin, a mishpacha with Aaron Soloveitchik. It was like, I remember my parents, they were nishtoyming. Every time that they saw him, they couldn't believe it.
He traveled around.
He traveled. The spirit, the will to live, it's not normal. So someone on that Madrega is on that Madrega. The average person couldn't last a day like that. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a person. Eov is like Aaron Soloveitchik. That's what he's saying over here. This is what I want. This is the response, obviously. So according to what we're saying over here, I'm saying two very two chidushim. I'm saying bisu. The word bisu mosecha means, are you naive? You think you're going to survive? And when it says Barech doesn't mean curse. It means give Shevach. Say Hallel. Thank Hashem for what you've done. Vamos means sign the DNR. Sign the DNR. No heroic measures. And just relax. And as they say in the hospice, it's okay to die. There's nothing wrong. Just let go. Relax. Let go. It's fine. And that's halachically fine, according to many opinions. All these articles in the Farm Jewish Journal, They're so general. Every
situation.
Speaking about dehydration. Dehydration. I know personally, it's not so simple. You have to be very. Every case is different. Okay, there are a lot of horrors. Don't get me wrong. I'm not coming to defend. I'm not going either way. Every case is different, and it's extremely, extremely complex. But what?
Very
is extremely complex. You cannot generalize not from one case to the next case, and it's there are many horror stories, but there are many pleasant situations also. Yeah,
when people die. That's happens. But there's a lot of horror in there.
A lot of horror. No question about it.
I think the doctor every years back in the 60s.
Years ago was different. Yeah.
I don't want you to be in the nursing home business because you live. You make your pronouncement of making other people sorrow.
It's not necessarily. I hear that may have been true in the 60s.
That may have been true. Geriatric was taken over.
Okay.
From people because it was a good business.
Okay. You're right. You're right. I'm not. I've seen firsthand.
Just to get off the phrase of Yosha Bear's yard site.
Oh. Okay. Phase of Yosha Bear's yard site.
No,
it's Pesach.
Back from Williamsburg.
That's Pesach. Of Yosha Bear's yard site is Pesach. Hello, my Pesach.
You sure?
Yeah.
Different salivation.
No,
of Yosha Bear is on Pesach. Hello, my Pesach. He was nifter. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so this is what he says to her. He says. And he tells her, I want to go on, and that he's very strong, okay? He's very strong, and the pasuk includes b'chol zos, and then the pasuk includes b'chol zos, l'chot iya b'svasav. The bottom line is, he suffered enormously, suffered beyond we can possibly imagine, and b'svasav in his lips, a klola did not come, a complaint did not come out of his lips, but in his heart there were any problems. So let's see what it says over here in the words of Rashi. Rashi already alludes to machazik, Ochez vamus loshon tzivui k'moy vamus bahar and die. You command. You'll go according to a similar interpretation of simple this baruch means to be megadef vamus, and by being megadef, they'll bring about your death. Gam loydai shebaranu. Not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us, ela gam es hatoiv nekabel v'yaserol lo nekabel bitmiya. Is it not enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created and we should only accept the good, not the bad? We have to accept the bad as well. B'svasav aval b'liboy, Rashi here says, b'liboy chata, indeed he sinned. Okay, let's read another pasuk. So what happened? That by Yishmu, so what happens now? Vayishmu shaloshes re'ei ioiv, eis kol hara'ah hazois haba'olof. They heard about all the raw. He had only three friends. Chazal asked this question very well. We'll talk about it when we come to it later on the Purim, at the end of today, about Mishalach Manos. You only give Mishalach Manos to one person. Maker Adin, why only one person? But over here, you only had three friends. Can you imagine? Iyav was a gevir. Could you imagine how many moistos he had when he made a wedding? He probably
all his money, all his friends. Yeah.
Exactly. When he made a wedding, you can bet there were thousands. The whole world was there. Every Rosh Hashiva flew in from all over the world. And now, all of a sudden, when he's in the hospital, when he's locked up here in the hospice, only three people show up. It goes to show who your real friends are. Shloishes rei iav eis kol haro hazos habalav vayavohu. Only three people came to visit. Ish mimukaymoi. Who are these three people? Number one is Eliphaz Hatemani. Eliphaz had money from Teman. Some want to learn that this was the son of Esav. Okay, the son of Esav. And some Chazal have some very positive things to say about him. That he was a very big tzaddik, Eliphaz. How could it be he's the son of Esav? But he was the enikel of Yitzchak. He had a good zeva. Yitzchak raised him. And Yitzchak had a very positive influence over his grandson. Uvildat ha shuchi v'tzayfar ha na'amosi. Maybe we'll come across these people much more when we go through the psukim, when we listen to their conversation, their dialogue.
Doesn't he call Eliphaz from Mishpachat Ram?
Later on? All right, I don't know. We'll see. Okay.
Rashi says Ram is short for Ram.
Okay, we'll see. Vayivadu yachta, they all stood. Vayivadu means they stood. They all came to witness what was happening. Lavo lanudlo, to come. Lanudlo means to mourn with him, ulenachamo, and to give him comfort. These three powerful expressions. Vayivadu, what does it say in the mitzudos? Loshen varke, they gakke, they confine, I'm sorry, they came together, vayivadu yachta, lavo lanudlo, to go. Lanudlo means to mourn with him. Lanulo means to mourn with him, will not want to give him comfort. Let's see the mitzvot in Rashi, then we'll stop. The mitzvot's going back on the three papasik, Yud Aleph, Vayishmu min ha-mesaprim. They heard, in other words, they got a report, they got an email from the mesaprim. Yishmu, come kolecha bom, come elmakam iyov, v'yoysam sham nesu, yachtov, lova yaliv, when they arrived, they all gathered together, habayisa, lanud, olof, berosh, to bow their head. To bow their head, to bend their head in mourning. A person who participates is mishtatif in the tzar of his friend. To give comfort with words of comfort. Okay, Rashi. What does Rashi here say? Pasik Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Oy havav, his friends. Lanud kimo mi yonuloch lo sanudulo. Who will participate in your mourning? There's a medrash, there's a lot of medrashim. How do they know? So one medrash says they all have crowns, each one of these three had a crown, and on the crown they had the image of the other two, of themselves and their two. There were four friends. There was Eiv plus these three friends. Each one of them had a crown. The crown either had three images or four images. If it had three, it means the other three. If it had four, it included themselves. Anytime one of the three was suffering, somehow magically the image of the person that was suffering changed, was mishtane. Others say they had trees in their backyard that represented the other friends. And if the tree of one of the friends was suffering, that tree began to wither. And it was a sign something is wrong. And they right away got together. This was the pact they had among each other. They'll all be there for each other. It's a medrash. I don't have that. I'm doing this. The medrash will save it with me tomorrow. Blinder, I'll bring it tomorrow. Blinder, I'll tell you exactly. I'll read you the medrash. I'll read you the source. And there is just one thing which we now are introduced to his friends. We learned about his wife. We learned about his children. Now we're being introduced to his friends. The first time we find the concept of a friend in the Torah is by Yehuda. Yehuda, after the Mechiras Yosef, he went away from his brothers because of the fallout. And he attached himself to Chiram Ish Adulami.
Avram was the first.
What?
I thought Avram was the first.
Avram with Lot?
No, with the Bris Milah. Should he do the Bris or not?
So he went to so that's a Medrash. That's a Medrash. I'm not coming to which one was the first. I just want to illustrate one example of where we find the idea of a friend. There are other examples, correct. But we find that Yehuda, he had a friend, Chiram Ho Adulami.
Yes.
Chira Hoadulami.
Yeah.
So what was important about this person, Chira Hoadulami, when Yehuda sinned with Tamar? Yehuda, it wasn't Lefi Kvoida for Yehuda to have an Asik with a Zona, and he and she said to him, I'm only going to be with you if you give me your Chosam and your Mateh and so on, and he gave it her, the Psil, and then when he came back to retrieve it, so who did he send? He sent Chira Hu Adulami. From here, Chai, once we're a Jewish, from here you learn a very powerful Musa Haskell. What is a real friend? A real friend is someone to whom you can reveal your sins.
It's
so true. You have friends, all different types of friends, but you know, your friends, you tell all the good things, or you tell secrets. But to tell someone about your sins, I've done a terrible Avera, I had an Asik with a Zona, what should I do? That is a real friend. Someone to whom you're willing to reveal your sins is a true friend. Here, the entire Eve, the whole Sefer, we're going to learn, we're trying to uncover the sin. These are real friends. It really fits very well into the Chira Ha'adulami. Yehuda revealed his sin to this one individual. Here, Eiv, the reason why these three people are called his friends is because for the next 40 prakim, they're going to try to dig up his sin. His sins. And there's going to be a dialogue. What exactly did you do? What exactly is wrong with your hashkafa, your understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that brought about this horror, this tragedy? Those are real friends. Now, they turned out not to be such great friends. They turned out the friendship became sour very quickly. They started giving him mussar and started self-righteousness and so on and so forth. But at least just the fact that they were able to come together and to start a conversation reveals that they are called friends. Okay, so these are some very powerful, the questions are obviously much greater than the answers. These two psukim about a wife, about a spouse, is a very powerful idea. And this thing, we're introduced to the concept of what is a friend, is also a very powerful day. Over here, by the way, they call, how they, what are they called? They're called Re'e. Re'e, they're not called his chaverim. Re'e, Miloshna of Ra. Why is a friend called Re'e, Ra? Because only to a true friend can you reveal evil. Can you reveal the forces of evil that are within you. To a person that's only a superficial friend, you're not willing to reveal the forces of evil that are within you. You just reveal the good things.
By
a ray or
son
of they.
No, that's the one of the
people
over there that they, you know, they acted like friends.
They made believe. Aha, uh-huh. Interesting. Same expression. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick it up. Be there tomorrow.